Acts chapter 15, and we've been, on Wednesday nights I teach the Bible. I don't necessarily preach as hard as I do, especially like I did last Sunday night, but I teach, and tonight we're in the middle of a series, and it's, if you've not been here before, or this is your first week back in a long time, you're not going to get lost or anything. I teach on topics, but the topic we're teaching on is living peaceably. Romans 12 says that we ought to live peaceably with all men as much as lieth within us. And I'm going through and teaching what that means to be and how to live peaceably. Last week we talked about how to live peaceably with the weak. We've talked about how to live peaceably with just a few things here, but tonight I want to talk to you about living peaceably with strong people. That doesn't mean strong smelling, but it does mean strong personality type people. Acts chapter 15, look at verse number 35. The Bible says, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, we have here in Acts 15 the account of Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas were a preaching team, an evangelistic duo team. Some would say Paul and Barnabas were the first missionaries. I wouldn't argue with them, but if you look at where they went, they followed the Roman Empire, which was all under the auspice of one country. I'm not sure I would call it foreign missions. I wouldn't fight anybody over it. They were more like church planters. They would go start revival services, see a bunch of people saved and get baptized, and they would leave a preacher there and start a church, and then they go to the next place and do the same thing. And they traveled throughout doing that. And here in Acts chapter 15, Barnabas looks at Paul and he says, Paul, how about we go back around, take another lap? How about we go back to where we started and travel through the churches where we've preached before and see how they're doing? And we can get a good idea how things are going with them and might help us as we go forward with reaching new places. And the Bible says that Barnabas, he had already determined that he wanted John Mark to go with him. There was a problem. John Mark had been on one of those preaching tours. John Mark, the Bible says that he went home. He asked to leave to go home because he didn't want to be with them. And Paul said, go ahead, go back home. And Paul didn't want much to do with John Mark after that. And Barnabas says, I think he's ready. And Paul said, he shouldn't go with us. And the Bible, I want you to notice verse number 39 here. The Bible says, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. Wow. You have to realize they got in a knockdown drag out. Now they didn't go to fists, but they got so upset with each other that they wouldn't travel and preach together anymore. The Bible says that Barnabas took John Mark and Paul took Silas and they went their own ways. Now, Paul and Barnabas were both strong leaders. They had worked together for some time. We don't know how long, it doesn't really matter. But here's what I want you to see. They went different ways. And by the way, they're never mentioned together again ever in the scripture. I don't know that they weren't together. I just know they're not mentioned together ever in Scripture again. How sad that two very strong leaders, two very godly people, two very capable men of God couldn't get along with one another. It's not bad to be strong. But realize that every asset has a liability. Did you know that every asset has a liability on the other side? If you're going to have a strong leader, guess what? They're going to be a bit stubborn. Just so you know. Marcia, quit laughing. Did you know that a very kind, gentle person generally doesn't take a strong stand? It's not always true, but Brother Hiles used to say it this way. A camel is a horse that a Baptist committee put together. That's pretty close. You know, you want all the right parts, but you want different parts for different reasons, and it just doesn't always work out that way. If you're going to have somebody that's firm in their conviction, firm in the King James Bible, firm in how they preach, you're going to have to put up with a stubborn preacher, i.e. me. No comments. Now, being strong is not a bad thing. Did you know that every asset has a liability? Did you know, you say, well, if I just had $1 million, all my problems would go away. Wrong answer. There are bigger problems with bigger amounts of money. There are liabilities that go with every asset. Being homeless has liabilities. But having a lot of money has liabilities. Being strong has liabilities. Being weak has liabilities. Everything has assets and liabilities. Strong people tend to be stubborn and set in their way. When you put two people that are stubborn in the same room and in the same program, guess what's going to happen? Every once in a while, there's going to be a little contention. All right? Now, I will say this. There doesn't have to be. But there tends to be. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm going to transition. In every area of our lives, we need strength around us. We need strength around us. One of the glaring problems of our society today is the attempt by the media, the attempt by people in power, the attempt by the educational forces in our country to weaken the strong. One of the biggest problems we have in America today is the destruction of strong people. And if you'll listen to me, I can help you. Liberalism constantly tries to weaken strong things. They break down strength. Did you know businesses need strong management so that labor can have strong labor?
Yes, sir.
But in our media, in our politics of today, oh, those business owners, those bad, they don't need all that money. Did you ever see how much money the people make that make statements like that? Nancy Pelosi is the biggest two-faced, bearded old hag I've ever seen. That's the nicest thing I could say. Here she is talking about how walls don't work, and she has a wall around her $10 million compound in San Francisco.
Yes, sir.
You doing okay?
Uh-huh.
See, well, those people shouldn't be that rich. How much money is she worth? It's okay because I can control because I have good intentions with mine. Oh, you want to play God. And God knows that is a pretty nasty God right there. You see, many businesses have closed due to labor weakening management. $15 an hour for, what do you call that?
The cheeseburger.
Yeah, to flip a cheeseburger. Come on, folks. That's not starting wages. Why is it that the liberals want everybody to live on that? Did you ever notice everything is about minimum wage to them? Why do they want everybody to live at minimum wage? Few people live at minimum wage. Say, who lives at minimum wage? Teenagers, college students. Those are entry-level jobs. You start charging $15 an hour for workers at McDonald's and you're going to pay $20 a Happy Meal. It's going to happen. Now, the same is true in politics. We need a strong president, and the opposing party is very unwise trying to weaken the power of the president. I don't care who the president is. We ought not try to weaken the power of the president, nor should we usurp authority over the power of the president. He is not the supreme power of the United States of America. We have the House, the Senate, we have the Supreme Court, and we have the president. He, by himself, holds more power than most because he negotiates contracts, he enforces those laws, he is the elected official, etc., etc., etc. May I say something? The press is in a constant state of trying to weaken the leadership in order to sell news. They are only hurting America. I love what the president did this week. I'm sorry. I love what he said. He said, "You liberal Jews that are voting liberal are disloyal." He wasn't talking about disloyal to America. They're disloyal to the principles of of Israel. This Tlaib chick and Cortez Babette defying Israel as senators and congresspeople. And yet millions and millions and millions of dollars of Jewish people's money go to the Democrat Party to support those kind of people. And that's what he said is disloyal. And he's right. Now, everybody doing okay? Hang on. The press explores to find the weakness of the strong in an effort to for the spectacular to be reported so that America can have news. Since when did news become digging into everybody's past to find out how bad their socks smell when they take them off at night? Let's face it, folks. Nobody's perfect, especially the people trying to report this trash. Wise is the nation that strengthens the hand of leadership to offer security to the people. Can I tell you what's happening in America today? The liberals, the socialist liberals, are trying to rewrite history, wipe history away, so that they can be the oppressors now. They are trying to get rid of the slavery aspect of things in America because they want to be the slave owners, which is you. History is history, whether it's good or bad.
Amen.
You all know what I'm talking about? Just go back and look at your old report cards. History is history, good or bad. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean you could wipe it away. Boy, that's good. May I say this? Thank God for strong people. Unfortunately, in many churches, strong people tend to be disliked. Now, may I say something? We ought to be an encouragement to strong people, not a discouragement to strong people.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Scott. Many times, strong people are the ones criticized. Folks, you preach like I preach, you're going to take some criticism. I'm not saying I'm the strongest person in the world, but you preach the truth loud and clear, plain and simple, I'll promise you, you're going to take some heat from time to time. And every once in a while, you're a bit lonely. You say, why? Because the pretty boys and the guys that wear lace on their underwear don't want to hang around.
Right.
I'm not part of the yuppie crowd. I'm not a chihuahua. I'm a bulldog. Chihuahuas eat bulldog, or bulldogs eat chihuahuas. All right? Any bulldog that has a chihuahua for a buddy isn't much bulldog. All right? Now, I'm not for being rude. I'm not for being unkind. But may I say this, as I said the other night, let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen, sir.
I don't give a flip who had hair lips. It's God's book. By the way, I didn't write it. I just preach it. I'm just the delivery man. Now, I've got to hurry up here. Listen to this very carefully. We must understand that strength has weakness. Now listen, if you don't get anything, listen to these next statements. We must not get disheartened when heroes and strong people show their weakness. Job 32:9 says, great men are not always wise. We as Christians need to learn how to get along with strong people, even when they are weak and showing their weakness. Okay, listen to these statements. We cannot allow their humanity to shake our confidence in them. They are strong, but not omnipotent. They are wise, but not omniscient. They are not all-powerful. They are not all-knowing. This preacher is going to hurt you someday, unfortunately. You say, why? Because I'm a sinner just like you are. I won't do it on purpose. But I'll promise the day will come. I'll try not to let it happen. But it's going to happen. You say, why? Because I'm not perfect and neither are you. Well, I know. I've been preaching for 30 years full time. Well, I used to go to church, but I know this preacher. And boy, he went bad and all you preachers are all. Just because you had one bad car didn't mean you started buying horses the rest of your life. Is that not true? Just because $1 or one job you had didn't work out doesn't mean you quit all the jobs and you didn't work the rest of your life either.
Right.
Now, Paul and Barnabas were both good men. They were both preachers of the Word of God. But they were both human. And as we saw in Acts 15 verses 36 through 40, they didn't get along. We won't take time to turn there, but if you go to Galatians chapter 2, verse number 11, you find out that Paul and Peter had a falling out. Go figure. The Apostle Peter, the guy that opened mouth, insert foot, then thought, I can see where Paul and Peter are going to have a falling out. You say, why? Because both of them are pretty thick-headed, strong-headed. Two mules in the same pen don't work together real well. You put two bulls in the same spot, they're going to push each other. And that's what happens. Did you know that many preachers in history didn't always get along? Did you know that John Wesley and George Whitefield didn't get along? Did you know that John Rice and J. Frank Norris didn't get along? J. Frank Norris, the father of fundamentalism, pastored two world's largest churches, one in Texas, one in Michigan, at the same time without an airplane. Spend 2 weeks at one, 2 weeks at the other. 2 weeks at one, 2 weeks at the other. His assistant, Mr. Ensminger, would switch and run the Sunday schools opposite him. Say, how'd he do that? He's a strong leader. John Rice worked for him. The contention got so bad that John Rice left working with J. Frank Norris. Do you know that Dr. Bob Jones Sr. and John Rice had a falling out? Say, why? John Rice would preach against his mother if it sold papers to the sword of the Lord. I didn't say that, Brother Hiles did. He's dead. He can't write against me right now. No, seriously. John Rice and Bob Jones Sr. didn't get along. They didn't get along with citywide campaigns. They didn't agree with each other. They end up kind of getting in a pretty big spat over it in the 1950s, 1940s. Everybody doing okay? Brother Hiles and Jerry Falwell didn't get along real well. Brother Hiles, back in the 60s, helped Jerry Falwell get started, get his bus ministry started. Then Jerry Falwell changed doctrine. And things didn't go real well. Then Jerry tried to buy Brother Hiles back and said, look, you come speak for me 10 nights in a row and I'll give you $100,000. I'll put you on national television. He said, you can't buy me. Things got a little ugly. Say what? By the way, Jerry Falwell came to Brother Hiles' funeral. I saw him, talked to him. Now, let me give you some thoughts on how to handle strong people. I've got 17 minutes. You ready? I got to hurry. Number one, being strong does not mean you're right. Figured I might as well just beat you in the head right out of the box. Amen? Being strong does not mean you're always right. Folks, being strong means you're right at least in one area often, but it doesn't mean you're always right. Being right at something doesn't make you strong at all things. A guy who can bench 400 pounds might not have any lower body strength. Now, I know guys that they can lift weights, but you take them out and work them, they'll fall over dead. Just because you can lift a bunch, just because you can lift a dumbbell doesn't mean you can work. It just means you can be a dumbbell. It's amazing how many, I'll meet people from time to time and they'll be in their 40s, 50s, and they're a bit round. They're built like a peach. And I'll say, they'll talk about how they used to be an athlete in high school. I say, were you a power lifter? Yeah, how'd you know? Because what happens is once they become power lifters and they build all that muscle, as soon as they quit lifting, it quadruples into fat. It just goes, every last one of them. The moment they quit lifting, it starts expanding in a different way. Just because you're strong enough to lift some weights doesn't... You take those scrawny little farm boys. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, the ones you didn't want to pick on in school because they whooped the snot out of you twice before you ever blinked. They weren't real big, but they knew how to work hard. Strong does not mean brutish. The word brutish means like a bull. Bull in a china shop. Strong doesn't mean... Stand up here. Strong doesn't mean, fellas, when you've got a lady or an older man who is getting up in years and they have arthritis, that when you grab your hand, you're going, let me squeeze that thing. Right? That's not the wisest thing to do. Just because you can hurt a 90-year-old man doesn't mean you're strong. Now, I believe men ought to shake another hand firm, but it's not a squeezing contest, all right? You're not a dairy farmer, you know, milking cows. Thanks, have a seat. Just because you can put some 40-pound woman on the ground, you know, oh, I'm strong. You're an idiot. Be gentle. Just be wise. Don't be brutish. Did you know, men, that ladies don't feel the same way men do? Yeah. A woman's feelings and her nerve endings are closer to the skin, to the ends of her skin than a man's are. Biologically true. What doesn't hurt you hurts her. Walk up to Josh and, hey man, how you doing? He just sits there and smiles. You go do that to one of these ladies, she'll haul off and smack you in the face. No, she's going to hurt. See, why? Because that's the way God made them. Oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble for I'm not going to look at anybody. Quit being a homosexual mentally wanting your wife to feel like a man. I married a lady, not another man. I'm glad she doesn't not like me. Too many of you want your wife or your husband to be just like you. That's not the way it works. Strong does not mean mean. Did you know you can be strong and not mean? I've been strong in some business deals recently. I haven't been mean. Just strong. Here's the facts. What are we going to do about these facts? It doesn't mean harsh or offensive. And I've got, by the way, those are all attitudes. Strong men need guided sometimes. But that means they need a strong man to guide them. Sometimes they need spoken to a bit aggressively. Everybody doing okay? I love you. Every once in a while. Okay, Brother Scott, I'm going to use you. Brother Scott's a strong man. I can smell him from here. Now, Brother Scott's a hardworking, strong man. How many black belts you got? Two and, yeah, working on a third. And he's got a couple businesses. And this is a pretty tough dude, all right? I'm glad he's on my side. May I say this? There are times where Brother Scott and I might be doing something, and I'm going to say, Brother Scott, come on, preacher, come on. Scott, no. Oh, okay, preacher. If I said that to Jamie that way, she'd be crying in the corner. Am I right? I know. Say why? Yeah, tough it up. Now, wait a minute. He's strong. He's used to getting through things. He's used to working through it, and let's work through it. Sometimes it's not time to work through it. When you got six first graders plowed up against the wall, holding three of them in each hand, it's okay, Brother Scott, back off. He does not do that, by the way. Purely illustrational. You see, sometimes they need a little bit stronger of an approach so that they know, I just crossed the line. Every once in a while, I'll get up here and throw a fit. You say, why? Keep everybody in line. Folks, it is what it is. They need a little bit of hardness because they're used to working hard. Brother Barnes and I were out cutting wood one day. He's a bull moose. He doesn't know how strong he is. He's picking up 300-pound logs. Okay, preacher, watch this. Tailgate up in the truck. Great. I'm helping him pick these things up. Got one up on the tailgate of the truck, and he says, hang on, preacher, I'm losing my hold. He put the thing down on my hand on the tailgate. I said, Evan, hurry up. He said, wait a minute. I said, it's on my hand. Oh, preacher. Ain't time to wait, man. I wasn't. No, Brother Barnes, would you kindly help me? It's get the stupid thing off, dude. You see, I have to understand strong men are going to give me their opinion, but it doesn't mean I'm always going to take it. But they want to be heard. Okay, I'll let you tell me. Doesn't mean I'm going to take it, but I will listen. Sometimes they're going to give it when I don't want it. And I'll smile and say, thank you. And then I'll go. Say, why is that? Because they're strong. They're used to leading. They've got good ideas. They're at least it's a good idea to them. I got to hurry up here. I hit the men hard enough. Here goes, ladies. Number two, there are going to be some strong ladies in the church, too. Now the wiggling starts. A woman is not wrong or unbiblical if she's strong. Let me say that again. A woman is not wrong or unbiblical if she's strong. Now, I don't think you ought to go around beating all the men up. But she clearly needs to know what her lines are so that she doesn't cross over. Did you know? Well, let me say this. Strong ladies are needed in the church. Fellas, you go face those mamas in the nursery. Find out how tough you are. You go stand on the other side of that door from them mamas. Every once in a while, you need some strong ladies to help in church. You need them on the bus route. Amen, Mrs. Lopez. Sunday school and junior church. Right, Brother Lopez? You say, why? Because them chitlins are not always as easy to handle. My daughter, she was home last weekend. We were laughing. She says, she showed me something. She said, the cure-all for parents saying their child does no wrong is the body cams for teachers in the classroom. I thought, now that has potential. Could have used that a few times. You see, a strong lady's going to get things done. But they might need a little stronger correction from time to time. They might need to be reminded from time to time, don't cross that line. Don't go there. I will tell the story. I will use the person's name. She would not mind it. Elaine Colston. Elaine Colston was the church organist, and she oversaw. She was the music coordinator for Brother Hiles. Elaine Colston, Brother Hiles used to say, pastored that church from the organ bench. She could play with one hand and her feet on the organ things down there, hold on a conversation, and write with the other hand something totally different. She could do three, and I'm not kidding. Am I right? I'll promise you, I've watched her do it over and over and over and over again. Yeah. And I'm telling you what, she could do anything, but every once in a while, she'd get out of whack a little bit. We'd be sitting in a staff meeting, and Brother Hiles would say, Elaine, shut up. Her husband, Brother Johnny, he'd say, preacher, could you write that down? I might need that again later. Just as dry and sober as could be. I was involved in a wedding with her, and she was the wedding coordinator. And she had been barking orders. And my wife knows I can put up with a lot, but when a woman crosses the line too far and it's kind of, she just needs put in place. And I wasn't mad, but she was not helping her own leadership at the moment. I ended up having to walk down the aisle, and she's telling everybody how everything, and I got to where I was supposed to be, and I got down to the end of the aisle, and I went, I probably ought not have done it. She went, now, Brother Bush. She said, and I just looked at her. She said, did I cross the line? I said, no. Every man in there is going, blah, especially the staff men. I mean, we were belly rolling. She said, I'll promise to do better if you won't do that again. I said, yes, ma'am. Got my point across. We didn't have any trouble the rest of the night. It was great. She came to me afterwards in tears. She said, Brother Bush, I'm sorry. I said, you didn't bother me. She said, I've been around Brother Hiles. She said, you took the attention off me and put it on you so that you could take the blame for it. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'm sorry you had to do that. Strong lady. Dear friend of mine. You say, why'd you do it? Because I didn't want her to hurt herself. She just needed to put back in line. I tried to use humor to do it. She didn't think it was funny, but everybody else did. You see, They'll get things done. Strong ladies get things done. You don't need to be rude. And fellas, you don't need to be challenged by a strong woman. If your manhood is challenged by a strong woman, you're pretty weak. I have never had a problem leading strong ladies. I am not the greatest leader in the world. But I do know this. I've led a lot of strong ladies. A lot of them. I was a senior in Bible college, and they put me in a room with Elaine Colston, Beverly Hiles, and Mrs. John R. Rice. And I was to lead them. Yeah, right. Try that one once. I'm not saying that a woman should lead men. I'm not saying she should usurp her authority. But if you're always challenged because, well, that woman's just too strong for me. Well, get out from under the bed and grow up and be a man. Lead her. Reason she stepped up and leading because you're not. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
I thank God for the strong ladies of our church. They help us carry the load here. Number three, I have 3 minutes. Lord help and mercy. Number three, let's not fall into Satan's trap of being negative or critical of leadership. Let me say that again. Let's not fall into the trap of Satan and be negative and critical of leadership. Let's not be jealous of what other people have. Let me show you what I mean. Remember in the last 5, 6 years, the one percenters. Let's protest the Wall Street crowd. The one percenters. Say, what is that? Breaking down strong leadership. Let me ask you a question. Why is it wrong for somebody to have more money than somebody else?
Amen.
Why is it right for them to want to take away from somebody that has it to give to somebody that doesn't have it?
That's right.
I don't understand that. It's okay for them to have it, but not okay for the guy that made it to have it. Why do we have to say, well, corporate executives shouldn't make so much money? Have you ever been hired by a homeless person?
Sure.
Poor people don't hire people.
Sure.
Hate to tell you. Everybody doing okay?
Sure.
I'm enjoying this one way too much, I know. When we weaken strong leaders, we weaken ourselves. And we make all the followers around that leader weaker as well. As parents, when one parent says about the other parent, well, that was stupid, in front of the children, you just weakened your own leadership. When one parent says, well, you can do it, it doesn't matter if dad said so or not. You are weakening leadership. And you're weakening your own leadership. Everybody doing okay? Okay, we're going to put the rubber on the road and slap it real good and hard. That's true when you start talking about your children's step-parents or the real parent and a step-parent. Quit criticizing their other parents. Everybody doing all right? Didn't think I'd ever have to preach like this. Say, well, you don't know what she is or he is. It doesn't matter. Quit criticizing them. How about you back them? Everybody doing all right? See, we as parents are supposed to back each other, not criticize each other. We're not to criticize our children or our stepchildren. We're not supposed to criticize our in-laws. I don't. They live in Minnesota. They live so far away, I don't have to. No. And I love my mother-in-law and father-in-law. May I say this? We weaken things by criticizing leadership. The more you tear down leadership, the weaker the followers are around it. That's exactly why the press is like a bunch of piranha. They're trying to weaken everybody to get them to break down to do what they want them to do. I thank God America still has a little bit of sense. Some of them need taught which bathroom to go to. But America has some sense. We need to realize that strength is not a bad thing. Strength does not mean you know all things. Strength does not make you omnipotent. Strength does not make you omniscient. You don't have all knowledge and you don't have all strength. Folks, if it comes down to electrical, I'm not touching it. Colorblind people don't touch wires. Amen, Brother Joe? Call Brother Joe. I'm not touching it. I walked out here today and one of the men on the excavator said, "Preacher, you don't have a stick of dynamite in your pocket, do you?" I said, "No, but if I did, I'd help you." Man, a bunch of tough rock out there. And I have run one of those machines before, and I was asking him questions because, by the way, I don't know how to run that machine like he does. I let them be my leader in that realm. Brother Josh will take some duties here at the church, and he'll work with the young people for a while and the music and help in some other areas. And he may know those areas even better than I know them, but he doesn't know how to pastor the church better than I do. I know the whole work better. I know the checking accounts and the banking accounts and the this account, that account, and how this runs and how this runs and who's doing this and who's doing that. I mean, it's just all wound up in there, and don't let it loose all at one time or it'll be a mess. You say, why? Because that's what my job is. Doesn't mean that I necessarily know more than he does. My job is to know different things than he knows. Boy, that's good stuff. Let's not be critical that, by the way, strong people, listen to me, it doesn't have to be done your way. Sure. I digress for 60 seconds and I'm done. I used to teach junior high geography. You talk about fun. They can't find their way out of a paper bag, let alone teach them geography. I used to teach 7th and 8th grade geography. First homework assignment. Come back to class tomorrow with a map showing 3 different ways to get from your house to the school. But we only go one way. There's 2 other ways, I promise you. Man, some of them, it was a strain to think of it. They would turn it in, and I said, I just taught you a life lesson. There's always more than one way to do something. Just because you do it this way most frequently doesn't mean it's always the best way. If there's an accident on that road, you got to come a different way to get to school. You better figure it out. Oh. Guess what? That's how life is. Leaders, if you're not careful, either they go your way or it's the wrong way. Well, there's 14 ways to go. Who cares which way they go as long as they get there? If they're there when they're supposed to be there, don't worry about which way they went. Don't criticize which way they went. They might like your way. They might like their way. Who cares which way they went? They got there. It's that simple. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I got to hush. Folks, we need strong people. We live in a weak society. Society is trying to weaken every strong person, making them into bad people. Maybe you are a strong person. Maybe this will help you be a better leader. Whatever the case, whatever the cause,